I was telling Joan, and thank you so much for the fabulous intro, Chris and Joan. I have to call Anna out for just getting married. Can we all clap for Anna? Oh, good. I'm very glad that's the only appropriate reaction. So I really have to thank all of my lovely coworkers and Ad, the owner who is standing over here, and Jill, who's not here, for everything, and my fellow readers for sharing this space with me, and Joan and Chris for organizing Hemingway's. So I'm going to be reading from partially my chapbook that's coming out, Dead Name, from Anhinga Press. And then I will also be reading from my full length that's being sent out into the world right now. So that's exciting. And I guess a little bit of background on my chapbook, Dead Name, and what it is. It's all persona poems. So for those of you who may not necessarily be familiar with persona, it's basically whenever you create a character and you speak through that character's voice. It's kind of like very playful and imaginative. For me, very much inspired by The Queer Art of Failure by Jack Halberstam. Where like the basic kind of thesis of the book is that queerness is failure, but it's also the greatest success. So, and that really did a lot for me. So a lot of these poems came from that. And my persona, my character is called Boy. Boy traces queerness. One, his pirate's cap turned backwards, tufts of his bangs hanging out the ponytail hole, the fingers cut off his gloves, holes cut in the knees of his jeans, because that's what Ash Ketchum does. And Ash was a boy's boy, because Pokemon is for boys, boys, and that's what Boy thinks he wants to be. But he didn't know he could want it or be it yet. For the knee holes, his mother punishes him with scrubbing the floor, the tiles with a sponge, grout with a toothbrush. He needs to learn how to be a boy's girl. She told him if he wanted holes, he'd have to earn them the old-fashioned way, hard work. Two. TV guide runs Tila Tequila shot at love late into the night, and he watches girls who look like girls kissing girls, boys who look like boys kissing boys who look like girls kissing girls who look like boys kissing boys. Boy wonders if his girl body is a girl body, if he wants to be a girl at all. Three. Boy and Blake behind the community center at the local park. Blake fingers him, fills all the parts of Boy he doesn't know how to. Boy doesn't know if he wants to fuck Blake or be him. Boy suspects his body is an object that was born for Blake's hard-on. Blake high-fives Boy when Boy first wears a dress. It's halter style that shows his neck and cups Boy's breast. Hem lands above the knee, his crimped hair past shoulders, and the heavy eyeliner of mid-2000s. Finally, Blake says, relieved, as if he sees Boy's potential to be more than his secret, as if Blake believes Boy can be a girl after all. Boy has music class with Blake's girlfriend. Cheerleader in uniform, blonde acrylic fingertips and high heels. Boy and her share the same first name and the same guy, but Boy never tells her about Blake's tongue in his mouth, Blake's fingers in his pussy, or how bad Boy wants her to be her boyfriend and to be with her boyfriend, how bad Boy wants her to want him. This next piece is actually appearing in the Notre Dame Review, this upcoming edition, so be on the lookout for that. And it's actually an Aaron Smith imitation, so shout out to Aaron Smith, Blue on Blue Ground. I love that book, and he's also, that book is so grounded in Pittsburgh. It actually comes from Things I'll Never Tell My Mother, but so this is called Boy Rejects Girl. He never wanted to wear frilly socks or velvet dresses and puffy sleeves to be his church clothes or to go to church at all. He never wanted praise for his dainty, his docile, his cute. He never thought he'd grow tits like his sister or mom, and when he did, he was pissed. He threw fits in Walmart dressing rooms as 32A turned to 34B to 34C to 36D. The hormone pill he wanted wasn't that mix of estrogen and progesterone. He never wanted the hair on his head to be longer than the hair on his body, or to collect Nair, wax strips, razors, or shaving cream to remove it all. He never wanted blood to come from anywhere other than an open wound, never wanted blisters from high-heeled open-toed shoes. He never wanted to lose his friends in middle school when everyone found out he liked girls, or for them to replace dead name with dyke or faggot. He never wanted to be the one to ask for the Sadie Hawkins dance. When asked to prom, he said yes, then threw the bouquet in the trash in front of his date, day of. He never wanted to arch his back or curl his toes, screaming loud to fake an O. He never wanted to say yes when he meant no. He never wanted acrylics glued on at nail salons, or to coat his lashes with clumpy mascara and line his lips and sing Hannah Montana into a hairbrush. He never wanted the pink Power Ranger, or to prove himself by arm wrestling the real boys. He never listened when he was told not to spit, or cared when his panties showed when he'd sit with his legs spread wide. Boy learns pussy. His legs spread wide in front of the mirror, bare ass on the carpet. No one taught him scientific terms. Labia, vulva, clitoris and hood, G-spot, vagina, cervix, uterus, ovaries. He didn't know. His pussy could be a boy pussy. His tits could be boy tits. His body could make boys with pussies. All he knew was that pussy is something boys want and not something they want to be or have. He lights up his pussy with a junk drawer flashlight, fingertips parting his pubes, wonders why his touch shivers up into his eyelids and escapes with a moan out his mouth. So there are some threads kind of connecting my chapbook and my, for hopefully, you know, full length someday. And one of them is like abortion and like miscarriage and, you know, like what that means within the trans experience. Because I think that with everything kind of happening right now, the trans voice is very lost. Trans people can get pregnant. And this poem was born out of that feeling like it was missing from, you know, the hegemonic narrative surrounding, you know, reproductive health. So this is called Boy Has Miscarriage. Not even a fetus can withstand a stay inside his dizzy wasteland of a body. He punches himself in the gut over and over with his jutted pointer knuckle to get a real sharp blow. He pulls a bright red clot from the crotch pocket of his boxers, cradles it in the palm of his hand. Blood trickles down his leg and stains his sock as he throws it in the trash. He types miscarriage 6 weeks into Google, and Google says, your baby is the size of a poppy seed. His baby is a butterfly, knife flowing out. Boy wears bra. This is called hiding. It's called fear. This is a boy in a striped dress. Is a boy who never wanted his father to look at his chest. He puts on the heels, the ones that match, so they don't call out fag as he walks past, or if they do, the click will hide it, or he'll pretend that it did. His mother gets drunk and lies in the hall. She says, hide them, you fucking slut, hide them. You got a rack bigger than me. Why do you think your father wants to leave me? This is called Mother Wonders Why Father Left. Why boy's bra turned to ace bandage wrap bound around chest. Why his bra paints speckled bruises and chafed red on his ribs. Why he calls them the boys. So I'm going to start reading some poems from the full length that's being sent out. It's called Divorce Carter. Mostly because it's surrounding, it basically tries to mimic the narrative. It's a narrative arc that tries to mimic a creation and then complete destruction of an abusive relationship. And I've been really interested in borrowed forms. So this first one is called Am I Pregnant Quiz, The Bump, where I went onto The Bump's website and copy and pasted like the skeleton of it. And then instead of choosing like question, like the questions or the answers to the questions that were listed there, I responded to each question with poetry. Am I Pregnant Quiz, The Bump. Whether you realize it or not, you might be showing some early signs of pregnancy. Take our quiz to find out whether or not you should break out the pee stick. One, has Aunt Flo paid you a visit this month? Aunt Flo, as if I didn't already feel the bubble of bile in the back of my throat from what I hope is food poisoning. Is my dairy allergy evolving? Is my estrogen level rising from the start of my Trisprintec pill pack 2 weeks back and not from some not yet body embedding into my uterine lining again? Doctor said bleeding will be irregular until it's not. Fuck this mommy-esque website for naming menstruation something kitschy. My last bleed was the not yet body that was passed through me. My last bleed was when I cut my arm with glass. I can't handle the social failure mapped onto me that is attached to a lost and unwanted, wanted pregnancy. Two, think about your boobs for a sec. How are they feeling? I nicknamed them the boys because I'm not a woman. And men aren't supposed to have breasts, and if they do, they're supposed to be ashamed of them, and absolutely, they're not supposed to name them. And even then, man isn't something that'll ever be either, so I just like to poke fun. Let me go check on the boys. They're moody, don't want to leave their room. They slipped a note under their locked door. We're growing. Stripes, we begin. Doubling, in pain. Veins pop out, blood rushing to our heads. Three. Are you near a mirror? Check out the twins. What do they look like? The boys unlock their bedroom door and they're hiding under their bed sheets like I do when I can't bear to look at myself. I lift the blankets and I see their faces have grown darker, chins chiseled and veins bulging in the corners of their forehead. They've gained weight. Lethargy has set in. They don't want to move. The boys beg, please, please don't touch us. Please don't. Four. Have you noticed any queasiness lately? I can't stomach the fact that Redacted fucked me raw without a condom after I told them not to. I can't stomach the fact that they said they pulled out. I can't stomach the fact that Redacted denies the facts of my body. You're probably just stressed. That's not how pregnancy works. I bet at 20, it's the side effects from the plan B. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Five, how tired are you right now? Bone tired, fall asleep on the bus and ride it to the end of the line and get shaken awake by the bus driver tired, scotch tape my eyes open tired, draw eyes on the backs of my eyelids tired, fall asleep singing in the choir during the Christmas concert tired, sleepwalk to the fridge in the middle of the night and chug a Monster Energy drink and go back to bed tired. Six, how's your appetite been lately? I want to take a bite out of a raw onion as if it were an apple and devour candy spaghetti for dinner. I want to dip Meat Lover's pizza rolls into a jello cup and Frank's Red Hot is a necessity on nectarines. Some days I crave only chicken pot pies and mangoes with honey. Others I puke on sight. What about your clothes? How are they fitting? I can't zip up my pair of big jeans anymore. All my button-ups pop open. My, how the boys have grown. Eight, have you felt any of these symptoms lately? Headaches, lightheadedness, or more frequent trips to the bathroom? We're talking about number one. There is a subwoofer thumping in my skull. I've drawn the blackout curtains and not even a whole blunt. 800 milligrams of ibuprofen and 1,000 milligrams of acetaminophen solves this. I spend most days horizontal in this now familiar darkness. It's as if I've been spun around and blindfolded with my arms outstretched, pinned the tail on the donkey style in an urgent search for the bathroom, feeling every surface for a doorknob. Every moment I'm going to piss myself. Nine, how's your mood? How's my mood? How's my mood? How the fuck is my mood? What the fuck do you mean? How's my mood? How the fuck do you think my mood is? Not even sure why you'd even be bothered to ask. To be honest, look at me. It's obvious how miserable I've become. 10. Were you charting your basal body temperature? I took my temp. Low-grade fever, 99.5. I feel the love letters from Redacted burn in the bonfire of my body. Can't say I'm sorry to see them go. I stick my head in the freezer and eat frozen fruit straight from the plastic bag. I keep my AC on 65 and don't care about running up the bill. Newsflash, you're probably pregnant. You're showing some telltale signs of pregnancy, the most common of which tend to be breast tenderness, nausea, fatigue, says Myra Wick, MD, PhD, OBGYN, and assistant professor at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Of course, you want to take a pregnancy test to confirm it and completely rule out the flu, PMS, or some other cause. If you get a negative reading but are still having some symptoms and you still don't have your period in a couple weeks, try taking another pregnancy test. I have a few more. I am going to check my time. Oh, actually, I'm going to stop right there. Perfect. Works out well. Thank you.